The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I just feel like I've been around the block, ripping up fantasy stock, working around the clock. Look at the view from the top. Researching rookies a lot? No, I just be listening to pods, yeah. One in particular, I'm just a messenger, let me just pass on the rock. Browning, Brunning, Bruning, pronouncing ain't what he's doing. What he's doing is not losing, but infusing you with new things. And there's Dennis the Bennett, yeah. The man is a menace, yeah. Building a dynasty, some of the finest things, promise you, you won't regret it. Sly as a fox, cultured in pop, give him his props. Here is a thought, here is a box, and you cannot compare them at all, so don't even try. Careful with the news, but when you use a take, I take up Tony Fire, I mean Dyer, because anyone else is a huge mistake. Whoa, fantasy round table, fantasy round table, yeah. Fantasy round table, come take a look at the crown, baby. Hey, fantasy round table, fantasy round table, fantasy round table, come take a look at the crown, baby. Go.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Fantasy Round Football. Oh my goodness, it's already
It's the Three Amigos podcast now.
We're back, baby. Yeah, it's been a long Thursday, which sucks. Thursday's usually like my favorite day of the week. This is easy at my day job, but we're back for another Thursday episode. Dennis and Matt are here. We've got tight ends on the docket. We're finally able to finish up going over the 2020 finishers here. We're going to go through, actually, it's top 24. I made a joke about this on Tuesday. There wasn't going to be 24 players to talk about. And then I looked at the sheet. There's 24 tight ends that are worth at least talking about, and how much discussion we will find out. And then we're obviously going to go over some of the NFL news and notes as well that have happened over the past couple days, some free agent stuff. And then obviously we will dive heavier into free agency next week on both shows as we get closer to franchise tag days and the start of the actual NFL free agency. Dennis, Matt, how you guys doing on this beautiful Thursday?
Man, I am fantastic. Thursday is my favorite day, too, because I don't work Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So at about 9 o'clock on Thursday, as I'm getting in my car to go to work, I'm always like, man, let's start counting that down till 6 o'clock. It's been a week. I had a meeting on Tuesday night, a meeting on Wednesday night, podcast tonight.
Yeah, Thursday is my Friday too. So that right there. Of course, Colorado was celebrating by yesterday was 60 degrees, sunny, light wind. Today, 40 miles an hour gusts from the north, overcast, snowing, upper 30s. Welcome to your weekend, boys.
Yeah, I was going to try and make a smart comment, but last time I did that, I ended up with like negative 20s and blizzards here in Texas. So, I figure I'm sorry that you're dealing with that. And I just hope that that does not come back this way again anytime soon. That's what I will say.
Brand new level of empathy, huh?
Yeah, I learned my lesson, and I'll just say I'm sorry that you have to deal with that, and I pray every night that it ends quickly for you and definitely doesn't come back this way again, because I can't handle it. I'm just going to be honest. All right, so let's talk about the tight ends. Number one in Fantasy Pros finish this year is probably fairly obvious to everybody, and that is Travis Kelce. We all had him ranked number two. I'll just go ahead and say it. Obviously, he got injured and did not get to play that much, which was Mr. George Kittle, who is all we all had ranked as tight end one. We'll talk more about him when we get down on the list to where he actually finished. But Kelce, number two, I think for me, some of it was I expected Kansas City to likely try and run the ball a little bit more after they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, and thought maybe with Tyreek Hill stepping up as well, they've got all these other weapons. Kelce wouldn't have a bad year. We still had him at two. Maybe not be, you know, like a wide receiver one as well at the tight end position. Don't really see that changing either anytime soon, just with the way that he's been playing. But Dennis, thoughts on Kelce, the year he had, and what you see from him moving forward?
Well, I think it's more like Clyde Edwards' despair. Am I right? Am I right? No. Kelce was a – you don't know how hard it was for me to hold that in that when it came to my brain while you were talking.
I saw the twinkle in your eyes. That's what I was trying to get through as quick as I could.
No, I think Kelce did what we expected him to do. Going into last season, you could have just as easily flipped a coin. And I think I feel like we had Kelce at two and Kittle at one because of the weapons around Kelce are better. And the quarterback is obviously better. So it doesn't surprise anybody, though, that Kelce, you know, had, what, 7,000 targets and caught all of them. No, Kelce's a bona fide stud. And he's, what, 31 years old now or something? He's still got a few good years left in him. I drafted him in a startup last year in, I think, the second round. And I don't regret it one bit. He's going to keep doing what he's doing. He's got the situation in Kansas City, if I had to characterize it as anyway, it's that it's stable. You've got Andy Reid, you've got Patrick Mahomes. They do need to maybe get a little more depth on the offensive line. I think that showed this year in the Super Bowl when they lost their guys late to injuries. So I do think they need to do that. But you know, when you've got Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes as your wingman, it's easy to be great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think my ranking of Kelce at two had much to do with him as it did with, you know, we like George Kittle, and, you know, Kittle had monster games when he was there. He just couldn't stay healthy. I think that would have ended up being a good battle down the stretch along with the guy who we'll talk about next, who probably, you know, outpaced what we thought. But Kelce is great, shows no signs of slowing down, and really, you know, going into last year, I think we were prone to think, well, that's going to be more than just Hill, Kelce, and Mahomes. They need more. They don't. And it doesn't look like it is going to be more.
Yeah, I mean, Kittle was – I guess we can talk about Kittle since we expected him to be up here. And again, the injury was definitely part of the reason he didn't finish anywhere close to what we had. He finishes still as tight end 19. Dennis had put on here that he finishes number three in points per game, though, with 15.4 points. So, obviously, he was still very productive when he was in there. And, you know, just to Matt's point, even us knowing Jimmy G wasn't going to be in there with his injury, Kittle still produced with backup quarterbacks the past couple years as well. So I don't think that would have hindered him at all. I still think Kelce probably would have finished his one just with how incredible his season was. But I do agree. I think it would have been a very good battle between him and Kittle. I think Kittle would have outscored Waller, who comes in at two. But it would have been a lot of fun to watch. What do you expect from Kittle, Matt? Because obviously he's still a guy who's getting drafted very high, especially in tight end premium leagues. And I love Kittle. I think he's not just one of the better people in the game and tight end, but I'm worried because he almost plays that position like you see a linebacker playing on defense, and he doesn't seem to want to tone it down, which is his game. But at the same time, I think it's leading to some of these injuries, and that's hurting you in the fantasy area.
Yeah, I still have him at number two in the rankings pass I just did. I think his talent's too great. And like you said, we've seen him, you know, he had one of his most explosive games because I had him in that tight end premium in Scott Fishbowl when Mullins was his quarterback. And Mullins, as we saw, was no great shakes. The biggest thing that holds him back is, can he stay on the field? You know, he gets banged up, like you said, probably because of that physical style. And the quarterback situation in San Francisco is still incredibly unclear.
Well, they love Jimmy G, didn't you hear?
Yeah, after you couldn't trade for anybody else, you love him inside the draft.
Yeah.
Coach loves him.
So did Belichick and still shipped him off.
I think Kittle is, you know, Kelce and Kittle are going to be at the top of the pecking order. You know, for me, with Waller at three, he went from 112 to 145 targets. I think that's correct. Where did I go? 117 to 145. He went from three touchdowns to nine touchdowns, and that may have swayed that. But the top of the scoring for tight ends, let me find it here. I mean, you had Kelce with, in 16 games, Kelce put up 312.8 points. Waller put up 251.9. So Kelce outscored him by 60 points. And then the third tight end was Hockenson at 170. I would expect Kittle to be up there in the Kelce Waller area. But man, after that, if you don't get one of those big three, I don't think you take a tight end and you just punt it. Just wait till late. You're probably drafting your wide receiver seven before your tight end, or your running back five before your tight end if you don't get one of the big three.
Well, now you have Delanie Walker coming back, so I'm sure that's – if you saw everybody on Fantasy Twitter, he's a lock to go right back in the top 10.
Are you muted?
No.
Am I?
No. No. Oh, I wasn't sure if he was being serious. And I thought maybe that was like a joke because Delanie Walker doesn't matter or something. So I didn't know. But no, I think there's still one more tight end. We'll get to him that I think I would still draft fairly highly, that I think has moved into the top three for me at least. But Darren Waller, as you guys were just talking about, he finished as tight end two this year. Both me and Dennis had him at five. Matt, you had him at four. Again, really good year for Waller. Do you guys expect that to change any, Matt, with him? Obviously, you know, it looks like for now, all the rumors were earlier that they might move on from Carr. Now it seems like they're trying to move Mariota and maybe keep Carr. How do you expect this to affect Waller moving forward? Offense is continuing to grow again. Offense was not the issue last year for the Raiders. It was their defense. So do you expect Waller to take any kind of step back, maybe be in the same area, especially with them continuing to add weapons and these guys getting another year in this offense in the forgot his name now. My goodness. Ruggs, Edwards, those young wide receivers coming up.
Well, and that's the only thing that might eat into, I think, Waller a little bit. You know, Dennis noted, he jumped up from 117 targets the previous year to 145 targets. I feel like he had poor tight end luck in 2019, only catching three, even though he got over 100 targets, 90 receptions. He's a pretty big goal line guy. Nine might be a little high, but, you know, I would say I feel pretty confident in the 6 to 7 range. And I think he's still going to keep getting around 100 targets. He's a big weapon. He's hard to cover. We saw him do a lot of great things for the Raiders. He may, you know, his targets may decrease a little bit if they can get an Edwards or a Ruggs more involved. But I think you and I talked about yesterday, Ruggs feels like he is what he is, kind of the big bomber. Edwards, still a question mark. Behind that, Aguilar is a free agent. They cut Tyrell Williams. They still have a young receiving core. He has great rapport, seemingly, with Derek Carr. I think that's going to help him moving forward.
Yeah, I think for him, obviously, that's going to be huge, especially because him and Carr have that nice little rapport together. And so if they keep Carr there, I think, you know, We talked about it obviously last year with the rookies, and we'll eventually get into this year's rookie class as well. None of us were really that big on Ruggs as a fantasy move. An NFL move made sense for the Raiders, not really for fantasy. And so I think having Waller there and continuing to be there should be a really good thing. So Dennis is working on trying to get some audio stuff worked on for him.
He shouldn't have belittled Darren Waller.
I know. That's what happens.
Put the black curse on.
And so once he does, we'll let him jump in here again and start talking about these tight ends. So Robert Tonyan, though, came in as tight end 3. Obviously, none of us had him ranked. I honestly will not. I can tell you I did not know who Robert Tonyan was up until, you know, it became a big deal for him in Green Bay. What is it that you think is his, you know, projection going into 21? Because, again, you know, I've talked about they need to add possibly a wide receiver in this draft. They've got Devontae Adams. And then they've got guys because, I mean, we keep talking about how, like, MVS and, my goodness,
the Lizard King,
Alan Lazard. Yeah, there we go. So Dennis is back. Alan Lazard, you know, we keep hoping that they're going to take a step forward. And Tonyan did it in, like, the first year it seemed like ever even entered. And I know it wasn't his first year in the league, but it felt like it because we didn't know who he was. Takes this massive step forward. Do you expect that to continue?
Well, first, he's a free agent, so,
yeesh.
You know, hopefully he, you know, I would like to see him back in Green Bay because I would think, you know, after what we saw last season, the biggest thing with Aaron Rodgers is it takes a little bit of time to develop that trust. Well, you saw him get 59 targets. He caught 52 for 586 and 11 TDs. I do... You know, that's such a high percentage catch rate and so many TDs. That to me would be a question about whether I don't know that even if he's back in Green Bay, you see him finishing as tight end 3. I think he comes back, but I thought he was a good fit there. And we've seen Rodgers, even when they had Jimmy Graham, when they had some of this starting to use those tight ends, we all thought it was going to be, I think, Jay Sternberger as the tight end taking a step forward, but Tonyan seemed to fit that a little bit better. I hope they bring him back. If he goes somewhere else, I don't know what to make of him.
Yeah, I think those that knew Tonyan knew him as Jay Sternberger's backup. He was still only fourth on the team in targets. He did have a super high conversion rate at 88%. So I would expect that to drop into the 70s at least. That just feels unsustainable. So if he is to maintain that production, he is going to have to part of it was 11 touchdowns that he had, but he's going to need to probably get at least 15 more targets, I think, to stay and maintain the touchdowns. With the expected drop in catch rate.
And he is a restricted free agent. I just looked that up, like Philip Lindsay. I would expect they're going to tender him at a certain level. So he's most likely back, but, you know, you never know.
So number 4, another player we did not have ranked, was Logan Thomas of the Washington football team. You know, I guess you could really say the same thing as Tonyan here. Now, people knew of Logan Thomas a little bit different. We knew who Logan Thomas was.
He was like our 73rd ranked quarterback.
Yeah, we just did not expect this, obviously, for him to – if you guys don't know what Dennis is talking about, he actually used to be a quarterback and moved to tight end. I don't see why this doesn't continue to work. I mean, he really played really good. He seemed to be a very good option for that offense. Obviously, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. That could change things. Alex Smith, we've always known, has been willing to target the tight end. But I think with the way he produced on the field, he definitely deserves to be probably a top 15 tight end into next year. I don't know if I'd have him ranked in my top 5, maybe even 10 right now. But he's definitely a guy that I'm willing to take late, like Dennis was talking about earlier, and waiting on your tight ends. He's a guy I'd be willing to take a stab on. Dennis, what are your thoughts on Thomas?
Look, tight end 4, tight end 18, same dude. It's literally such a wasteland after the top 3 that I don't know that there's really anything you can count on. You know, Thomas had 110 targets last season, tied for second on the team with J.D. McKissick, of all people. So the second leading receiver with targets was Cam Sims. So I would expect Washington is going to do something in the wide receiver department, whether it's Sims or Harmon. or the other Sims, or a free agent, or a rookie. Somebody's going to need to step up across from Terry McLaurin, because even at the level that he's producing with 134 targets, I think that Washington is. I jokingly say that tight end 4 is the same as tight end 18. I'm probably not going to be terribly surprised, though, if Thomas finishes top 8. I think he's established himself as somebody that Ron Rivera, who's kind of a loyal guy, has his way of doing things, and did that frequently with
Greg Olson.
Yeah, who just retired. So it's not going to surprise me if Thomas still hangs in there in the 100 target range. It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, and I think it will, because you're talking about not just, I like the player. I thought he did pretty well, and maybe he just needed a chance to shine. He had not gotten it more than 28 targets in a season prior to coming over there. But, when he got those 28 with Detroit, he caught 16 of them for 173. So obviously he was productive when he was given chances. You saw him get chances and make the most of it. He did do well with Alex Smith. He did pretty well even at the beginning of the season. He started to emerge, when Dwayne Haskins was there. He was basically the second reliable option in among pass catchers opposite of McLaurin. And hopefully they'll bring in another receiver, and that'll boost the passing game. Hopefully they'll do something at quarterback that'll boost the passing game. I'm going to drop him down a little bit. I'm at 11 right now in my first pass of rankings. But I think he's got tight end 1 potential.
Now that you break out the rankings, I got to go look at mine and see where I put them, just to see.
Yeah, I actually spreadsheeted mine and put them up for this one after you asking me all those questions.
See, Logan Thomas, I have him at – I'm at 16. So, I mean, a tight end too. I guess I could see it, but mine is included with rookies already, and there's 3 rookies I have ahead of him because I believe in all 3 of them coming in this year. So that if you take those rookies out, he'd be at 13 right now for me. So it's still, that's close to a tight end 1, which is a little bit closer to what you have him at. So I mentioned earlier that there was still 1 tight end that I would take a chance on drafting early because he's going to jump up some for me. And that is TJ Hockenson of the Detroit Lions. He finished his tight end 5 this year. It doesn't look like any of us believed in him much. And some of that, I think, is the fact that it just seemed like the old coaching staff really didn't want to get him involved in the offense. And then they did. And he had that breakout season we've been hoping for. I had him at 13. Dennis had him at 10. Matt had him at 13 as well. Again, finishes at 5. Hockenson is a guy I would definitely take because I think his upside is there, and I do think that he's going to be one of the top 5 tight ends moving forward for the next couple of years, even with a Jared Goff there. I think that, we saw Higbee have good games. I think some of that was just Sean McVay doesn't believe in having tight ends on the field, where now I think that philosophy is not going to happen in Detroit. So Hockenson is a guy that I take a stab at. Matt, where are you at with Hockenson? How do you think his value may have changed some with Goff? We know Goff will at least be quarterback for a year. We'll see if they draft anybody or how they handle that moving forward.
So you're saying the Tyrell Williams signing didn't really dent your expectations for
who?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, and so part of the reason Hockenson jumps up to 5 also is no Kenny Golladay. Marvin Jones wasn't always there. There wasn't a lot of other receivers, and he really benefited and thrived. That being said, there still isn't a ton of receivers there right now. They're only returning receivers of note, or they have Geronimo Allison, who had opted out of 2020. Many had probably forgotten he signed a 1-year deal coming over from Green Bay. They also still have Quintez Cephas. I liked what I saw as a rookie, but I don't know, and then they have Tyrell Williams. I think Hockenson is the best and biggest player in the passing game right now, and will still probably be, even if they go get a premier rookie or sign a free agent, is going to be one of the top 2 guys. I have him at 4 in my tight end rankings right now.
Yeah, I haven't started my offseason rankings yet. It is interesting. If you look at a point per game, while I jokingly said that about 4 through 18, from tight end 4, tight end 5 through tight end 19, there's a 2.4 point difference in a point per game basis. So that is an extremely large tier of tight ends. I think Hockenson is, you know, Dan Campbell is a former tight end. And while he probably wasn't as athletically gifted as TJ Hockenson, it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't run some tight end centric plays on a game by game basis. They're going to, you know, if they don't franchise Kenny Golladay and they don't make a big move in free agency, I mean, who's going to be their receiving threat? It's going to be Hockenson and it's going to be Swift. So, you know, the potential, Hockenson does have the potential staring him in the face to repeat.
All right, so number 6, Mark Andrews. He was a guy that we expected to have a much bigger year this year. Again, with I thought that even with Lamar taking a step back, Andrews would still be fantastic. Now, some of that was definitely due to injury. I can't remember. Did he miss? I want to say he missed at least one game. Did he not? Two games. Okay.
Two games.
Was injured a little bit, and I'm sure he was playing while he was injured as well. And that offense just didn't really look the same until later in the year. We all had him ranked at 3, and I'm pretty sure both Dennis and myself, I remember, Matt, if you were on this as well, but we talked about him possibly even finishing as being the best tight end. Oh, yeah, being the one because of just how much we expect him to. Obviously, still finished as tight ends, was it 7? No, 6. So it's not like he had a bad season, especially for as bad as that Baltimore offense looked earlier in the year. How do you value him moving forward, though, Dennis? Because obviously he had that big year a couple years ago. Takes a small step back. We've seen a couple tight ends step up. Do you still have him as like a top 3 to 5 tight end? Do you think he slides back a little bit? You know, I mean, I know you said earlier like tight end, I mean, he was tight end 8, tight end 18. There's not big of a difference. So is he above that 8 mark or a little bit? Is he kind of like right below that tier 1? How do you value Andrews?
Well, we've seen Andrews do it before. And so for me, I look at it and think not a lot has changed in Baltimore. You still have Lamar Jackson at quarterback. You still have John Harbaugh at head coach. They know what they have in Mark Andrews. And while Marquise Brown did step up, had 100 targets this last season, I think that that's going to help Andrews by taking some of the pressure off. The onus will really come down to how much more do you think that we can get out of Lamar Jackson in the passing game. He did, let's see, his pass attempts were down about just under, his pass attempts were down about 25 attempts, and his completion rate was down a couple points. He was super efficient 2 years ago with his touchdowns, and I think that helped Andrews. I feel like the Ravens are, you know, I think Jackson had that sophomore slump kind of last year. Teams started to figure him out a little bit more. He's a hard worker, and so I feel like he's going to spend his time this offseason working with the coaches and working on the things he needs to do. No, I don't think he's going to ever be a 5,000-yard passer. He's probably not going to be, you know, have a season where he attempts 550 passes. But I could see Jackson moving up into the 450, 470 attempt range, which will bode well for Andrews. And like I said, I think Andrews has shown he can do that. He can be that guy. And there's nothing about his game that says that we should give up on him. So he's probably going to end up being in my 3 to 6 range for tight ends if I had to guess where he's going to roll out.
Yeah, I have him at tight end 5. I still believe he's a big part of their passing game. This last year, he missed a couple of games, but it was really – he had a about 10 fewer targets, ended up with four fewer receptions. It was really, he had fewer yards, didn't get kind of those explosive plays as much. And I feel like that was Baltimore's offense in general. I think if they can get better passing game going to wide receivers, that's going to open things up for Andrews more. And I also think after Nick Boyle got injured, Andrews ended up blocking more and having to do more of those kind of traditional tight end things. So for somebody who had kind of what we're calling a little bit of a down year, finishing his tight end six pretty good, I still think he's one of the more bankable options at a kind of crapshoot position.
Yeah, but I have him at six right now in my tight end ranking. So I still have him right there. Again, I have Kyle Pitts ahead of him. And I have to because, you know, I did claim a tight end named Kyle Pitts was going to have the best rookie season of all tight ends. And if he didn't, I unfortunately have to sing the Michigan fight song. So I need this to happen. So I've got to speak it into existence and got to go with it. But I'm with you. I think Andrews, while it did take a little bit of a step back, maybe some of that had to do with Boyle, but I expect this offense is going to take a step forward. I know me and you talked about it a couple episodes ago, Matt, that it hurts my heart a little bit to be the guy who's like such a big Lamar detractor last season is not kind of coming around and be like, I think Lamar is kind of going to get better this year. And I think Andrews will obviously be a big recipient of that.
So it's disappointing, though, to hear that your bets now have devolved back to singing a fight song. I thought after the tramp stamp, the escalation naturally would be to getting the Michigan logo tattooed on a cheek.
Well, so here's the thing. I'm not going to be getting the tramp stamp. We saw how good Justin Herbert was last year. I guarantee you Bark is shaking in his pants every day like, oh, crap, this is going to happen. Because Tua's probably not going to be in the league anymore after, like, next year. I'm just kidding. Tua's phenomenal, but I'm not worried about it. Of course, watch Tua go out there this year and, like, win an MVP and take the Dolphins to, like, the AFC championship, and I'm like, all right, guys, so where are we doing this at? How are we doing this? Dolphin hit the beach ball, right? That we agreed upon? Sweet.
You just remember Dennis and I's one request, live stream.
I mean, I
fire up the StreamYard.
How about I'll record it, but I'm not going to live stream because I'm going to have to mute out me screaming like a girl because I'm terrified of needles. So that's going to be bad as it is. It's why I don't have a tattoo. So it's not, it's going to be bad. Mike Gesicki, though, speaking of the Dolphins, had himself a very good year. And we've been talking about this for years, ever since he blew up the combine coming out of Penn State, like looking like an athletic freak, blowing out all these combine numbers. And we kept waiting and waiting, seeing when this was going to happen, even with it's Patrick and Tua in and out at quarterback. And he actually did have some good games with Tua down toward the end of the season. We were a little bit lower on him. Matt and myself had him at 12. Dennis had him at 14. I expect him to continue to produce this way. You know, I do, all joking aside, expect Tua to be better next year. You know, we can't forget that he was coming off a major hip surgery the year before his rookie season. I mean, we all talked about him probably not playing at all last year and letting Fitzpatrick play out the season. And honestly think the Dolphins probably should have done that because they might have made the playoffs with the way Fitzpatrick was playing. But Matt, what do you think about Gesicki? Are you buying into him now as a top 10 tight end?
Yeah, I have him at 7 now going in. I think I liked what I saw. He seems like he's going to be a decent part of their attack. He's gotten over 80 targets in each of the last two seasons. Really improved his yards per reception, got about the same level of touchdowns, got about the same receptions. But I think the real question probably for him and how high he can go is what happens with that passing game and that offense in general. You know, many people expect the Dolphins to make a move at running back. We all expect them to do something at wide receiver. You know, that could help him. That could take away from him. Will Tua progress as a passer? If he gets Deshaun Watson as a quarterback, I mean, you would think that that's going to be good for his long-term prospects too.
Well, I don't know about getting Deshaun Watson really improving his prospects a ton. You know, we didn't have a ton of bankable tight ends coming out of the Houston passing game. I feel like Gesicki is sitting on his – he's sitting right there at just about what his ceiling is going to be. You know, 90 targets probably, 80 to 90 targets. He'll need to get a little better with his consistency with his hands. I like him. I think he can be productive. But, you know, right now, I feel like there's a lot of what else do they have? They have Devontae Parker, who is a late career breakout. Preston Williams was kind of a disappointment because he got injured. Who else they got? Lynn Bowden, Isaiah Ford, Jakeem Grant, Alan Hearns opted out. So it's not like they have a murderer's row of wide receivers. If the Dolphins bring in somebody like an Allen Robinson or they draft somebody like Jamar Chase, it could really have a negative effect on Gesicki's target share. Because as much as I like Tua, and I do, Tua I think is going to fall into that sort of very efficient, not really high volume type of passing game. I think that having Flores as his coach, who much like Belichick, seems to have been the most successful from the Belichick tree to date. You know, he was there when Brady got hurt and Matt Cassel had to take over. When Brady was young and they had to win with defense. So Flores kind of went through that. He was with the Patriots for a long, long time. And so I think that he values some of that don't turn the ball over, consistency, play good defense, which in the end is probably going to be detrimental to a lot of the passing assets on the Dolphins team.
I know we don't like him, but wouldn't we still have to say Bill O'Brien is the most successful coach out of the Belichick coaching tree?
He won four division titles,
went to the playoffs. He actually has won a playoff game.
If you're gonna talk about it like that, then yeah. But I think Flores is on his way to being, I guess, successful and likable.
You're adding the likability, he hasn't, you know, traded half his team away for a bag of magic beans.
Yeah, hey, I mean,
don't you besmirch David Johnson.
I wouldn't even call him a magic bean. Maybe Mr. Bean.
Yeah. All right, so this next player is going to be very interesting because he doesn't, at least in my opinion, have much NFL future left, and that is Rob Gronkowski. He came in as tight end 8. None of us thought he was going to finish this high. I had him at 20, Dennis at 16, Matt at 17, so we all thought he'd finish in a tight end 2 range. That did not happen. I think a lot of that obviously came with the amount of touchdowns he was able to score. I can't imagine he has more than a year left. So in all honesty, Gronk is a player that I'm fading completely. Like, I don't care if he comes in and finishes his tight end 5 next year. You know, if he's a guy, maybe, you know, as Dennis mentioned earlier, maybe you build your whole team and then you take a stab at him late in the draft and then grab another young tight end as well, a Harrison Bryant, you know, I don't even know, one of the rookies. Well, Irv Smith is going to shoot up boards now with the news we got yesterday. But he's a guy that I take very, very late and expect to get 1 year out of him. Do you agree with that, Matt? Do you think Gronk has longer than that?
I mean, he could. He's still only 31. You know, he walked away because he was beat up. But he seems to be having fun again. If you looked at his overall numbers between that and his last year in New England, you know, he had his last year in New England, 72 targets, 47 receptions, 682 yards, 3 TDs. Last year, he had 45 receptions, 623 yards, and 7 TDs. So, you know, slightly fewer receptions, slightly less yards, but more touchdowns. The other question, I guess, is Brady. You know, we know he's at least coming back one more year. I know it seems weird. He's always said he wanted to play till he was 45. The guy looks like he could play till he's 55 based on the way he was playing last week. And Gronk doesn't seem to be motivated about getting a huge contract. He just wants to play with his friend. Brady seems to like that. 1 year, you know, you're probably getting, but it wouldn't surprise me if you get 2 or 3 years. I still don't have him ranked very high. You know, I put him down at 17. But if you're trying to win now, you know, Dennis has talked about this with some of the older quarterbacks. If you're trying to win now, that's a bankable products you can go get.
You know, if you look at it on a point per game basis, he's right in that huge tier of 15 tight ends. He actually finished as tight end 16 on a point per game basis. So what he had going for him is he actually played all 16 games last year. He was fortunate that O.J. Howard got injured after four games. He actually – him and Howard were tied in a point per game. So just Gronk played 16, Howard played four.
When you're talking about that real quick, though, do you also think it felt like Gronkowski got better and got more into the swing of things as the season went on? When you talk about having no real preseason or anything like that, him coming off a year off, do you give any credence to maybe he needed to play himself back into the football flow?
Oh, I do, but he didn't look super athletic. He even at the end of the season, you know, he's a lumberer now. He still, you know, can twist and turn a little bit, but he's not running any quick breaking routes. He's fortunate that he's 6'7" and 265 pounds. He's always going to have that advantage over defensive backs and linebackers. But he also benefited from Howard being hurt. He benefited from some of the wide receivers missing some game time. Yes, he's got that relationship with Brady. I think he's definitely back next year. And if Brady plays another year, if Gronk plays all 16 games next year, I think he's back the year after. But for me, I don't think he's anything special. He's, you know, borderline tight end one, probably closer to, you know, 15, 16, 17, where you have him. And he'll have a couple games, I think, that buoy that where he catches a couple touchdown passes. But next year he's going to be fighting for snaps again with O.J. Howard, who's a much better athlete. And frankly, I think his equal as a pass catcher, Cameron Brate. So I think Gronk is, you know, when you're playing tight end roulette and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, you can do worse, certainly, yeah.
At tight end 9 was Matt's guy, Noah Fant. We had him fairly close. Me and Matt actually both had him at 9. Dennis had him at 11. So a very good season, you know, and I think it's fair to say Denver's offense wasn't really that great at times. So he still put up a very good season. Where do you kind of see him now moving forward, though, Matt? You know, you're going to get Cortland Sutton back. And as we talked about, number one, hey, I love it. Buy into the homerism. I feel like I'm the only one who does that on this show. You got to do it.
First tattoo if he doesn't make it.
Obviously Sutton comes back, and then we know at least it looks like for now Drew Lock is going to be their starting quarterback next year. So where do you see Fant going? Same range, lower, higher? What do you got for him?
I have him at tight end 6 right now, but that's mostly because I like his long-term prospects. I think he's still going to be a top 2 option in their passing game. I think what's less clear to me is how receiver shakes out, because they have four guys that are all going to be vying for targets. I think Fant's, you know, a top option. We've seen how good he can be. If their offense could be a little bit better and their passing could be a little bit better, that would help.
Yeah, I think Noah Fant is going to be as good as Drew Lock is. I did see today that somebody, Fangio, said that he expected to bring in veteran competition for Lock.
Yeah.
So that could mean you're in store for another year of quarterback roulette. I have a fair number of shares of Drew Lock, so I hope he just comes out and has that carefree kind of casual QB12 kind of season. Fant's good. He's a really good athlete. He's going to be on the field. I don't think I have any real concerns about Albert O usurping his snap share. I think Albert's just he's the same type of player, just not quite as good. So I like Noah Fant. He's probably going to be, you know, he's another one of those 15 guys in that same tier. He probably gets moved up for me because of his age.
Yeah, I think for me, the big thing with him is heading into last year, I thought he looked like he was tracking to be better than Hockenson, and now they've switched back.
Yeah, which is disappointing too, because I was all about Fant coming out. I really thought he was going to be the guy, but hey, he might jump up there. I still believe in him. I'm with you. I think I have him at 8 in my rankings right now, so I'm right there with you. I still believe in him moving forward. Hayden Hurst, my best friend this offseason. So, you know, for all the crap I gave him all year long, I kept saying he wasn't going to be that good. I ranked him at 10. He finished at 10, so he did exactly, you know, at least what I thought he was going to do. Dennis had him at 7. Matt, you had him at 16. And I do honestly expect him to finish right around here again, even if Matt Ryan continues to struggle. Hurst looked more comfortable in the offense as the season went on. I don't know if maybe some of that was obviously completely different kind of system you're running in Baltimore compared to Atlanta. Obviously, we know he'll continue to be there. So even with Ryan continuing to struggle, I think Hayden Hurst is going to be a very good player moving forward. I say at worst, top 15 at tight end, but I think he's probably he's probably not in my top 12. I say that, and he's at 15. So there we go. I'll stick with my original statement, a top 15 tight end. Dennis, do you agree with that? Where do you see Hurst going to 21?
You know, he benefited from Julio Jones missing 7 games. You know, Russell Gage had 109 targets last year. So that's Hayden Hurst's competition for targets right there. As long as Ridley and Jones are healthy, they're probably going to at least be 125, 130 targets each. Maybe 150 targets each. It wouldn't surprise me. So I agree with you. Hurst did seem like he got more comfortable as the season went on. I think Matt Ryan got more comfortable with him as the season went on. I still, you know, we had a lot of Hurst versus Hooper debate last offseason because of their switching teams. And, you know, we were fairly accurate that Hurst was going to get more volume. But he probably isn't quite the athlete that Hooper is. Hooper just didn't get the volume. And I feel like Hurst had 88 targets last year. I don't see his target ceiling being much over that. Only a 63% catch rate. So I feel like that's a little bit low for a tight end. If he bumps his efficiency, if he gets 90 targets and bumps that efficiency up to about 67 or 68, you know, he could come in with 60, 65 catches, you know, 625 yards, 640 yards, somewhere in there. So, I mean, he was second on the team in receiving tight ends, or excuse me, receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, I think he's I have him at 12 right now. You know, I think he's probably in a good position. You saw him, you know, maybe it's Matt Ryan getting more comfortable with him too, picking it up as the season went on along. You got to remember too, they had no real off season, no preseason, you know, nothing normal. So maybe it was a case of he had to play his way in. And that was part of the reason I had lowered him going in. I just wasn't sure, you know, are we going to be set up? I think everyone that was super high on him, or a lot of people that were, thought he was just going to step right in and do what Austin Hooper was doing the year prior. But Austin Hooper wasn't doing that the whole time he was there. He had to kind of build into it. It'll be interesting to see how their new coach uses tight ends too, because, you know, he was the same coach that had Jonnu Smith last year. And we always were excited, like, oh, Jonnu Smith should be primed for it, and got Jack. So, you know, that's a minor concern. But right now, I think he has tight end one potential.
So tight end 11. I just want to say, friend of the show, Jerry, made a tight end bet with me earlier in the offseason that one Blake Jarwin would be a top 12 tight end. And I'm pretty sure I told him no shot he finishes in the top 15. And then after Blake Jarwin got hurt, I was like, you know what? I'll go ahead and give, you know, we'll call it even. Don't worry about it. Cause it was like he has to get me like a brown shirt and I would have to get him like a Blake Jarwin shirt or something. Nothing major. But I was like, nah, you know what? We'll just, you know, even though he got hurt, we didn't put any injury stipulations in there. And, you know, Dalton Schultz is definitely not going to do it either. Hey, Dalton Schultz sitting there at tight end 11. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, none of us had him ranked. We did. I was hoping to see if maybe we had Blake Jarwin ranked on here. But I cannot imagine with how good Blake Jarwin did look before he got hurt that it's not going to be Blake Jarwin who is up in this area for the Cowboys. But, Matt, what do you think? Obviously – we talked about a little bit with the wide receivers last week with the where Gallup finished and everything. We thought the wide receivers were going to take a big step forward, but maybe because of the way the defenses were playing them, Jarwin or Schultz are the guys to own in this offense moving forward at the tight end position.
Yeah, and to answer your question, Jarwin, you had him 21. Dennis had him 21. I had him 25 going in. So, you know. That would align with your bet where you didn't think he was going to make top 15.
Yeah, I really didn't, and that's looking really wrong.
Yet, tight end played good. It is a pretty robust passing game. Obviously, Schultz was a guy some of us were interested in when he got drafted by the Cowboys, but it seemed like he never really found that spot, and Jarwin had kind of passed him even when Witten was there. My wonder would be, do both of them end up kind of splitting the position with Jarwin back, in which case that's a huge hit to both of them, you know, because where one guy who is getting a lion's share of stuff, you could probably see finishing well. If two guys are splitting that out, you're probably low end tight end two at best.
So what if Dallas traded Michael Gallup for Orlando Brown and then went 12 personnel?
I mean,
fans would have a seizure.
They'd be a really good offense, I think. I mean, I think both Schultz and Jarwin are good blockers. It helps Zeke out, I think. I mean, I don't know if that actually do it, but I think it'd be a good move.
I mean, suck for Gallup, but
where are you sending Gallup again?
Baltimore.
What's Brown's? Baltimore, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, he'd be instantly the best receiver on that team.
I agree with that statement. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't disagree with that statement at all, actually. So 12 is Hunter Henry. He's another one that's going to be kind of an interesting case here. So I had him at 6, Dennis 9, Matt 5. I know we talked about it a little bit. It sounds like the Chargers might franchise tag him. I think he's going to be gone. A team that I actually think would be a great fit for him, and he has a little bit of a connection to, is the New England Patriots. Apparently Bill Belichick loves Hunter Henry. If you've seen, he's actually mentioned or he's talked about Hunter Henry a couple times and is very much someone who likes Hunter Henry's game a lot. I would love for him to go. They don't really have a quarterback at the moment, but the way New England tends to use their tight ends, I think he'd be really good. But outside of landing spots, it's kind of hard for me to predict right now. If he goes back to the Chargers, obviously, I think he'd still be a really good tight end, and he's got the talent. We've never seen him really put it all together either, I think is fair to say. But Matt, what do you think about Henry?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been good. I have him at 8 right now. You know, landing spot could move that up or down. If he goes back to the Chargers, you know, obviously he was tracking. He had one of his best years. He missed a couple games, but he saw 93 targets, a career high, had 60 receptions, a career high. So, you know, I think he fit really well in that system. He has the potential, if he goes somewhere where he's featured, to perform. I think the biggest questions with him, you know, beside landing spot, have always been, can he stay on the field?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a tier two tight end, but then again, there's 15 of those. So it's hard for me to get excited about it right now. I think that in Dynasty, you're going to probably have him over guys like,
you know, Gronk and Hayden Hurst and Eric Ebron and Jared Cook, you know, but they're all playing, they're all producing at the same level right now. It's tough to, I don't know. The only guy I really could get excited about in this tier, I think, might have been Jonnu Smith. And then we watched what happened to him last year and him and his 48 catches, and it's like, whatever.
Yeah, I was really excited about that. I'm getting the first very half negative.
I'm getting very negative towards the tight ends, I'm sensing.
Yeah. But it's a tough position. It feels like a crapshoot beyond, you know, once you're, like you said, once you're beyond like Kelce, Kittle, maybe Waller, Hockenson, you know, there's a wide range of outcomes.
No, yeah, there's actually a very narrow range of outcomes, just a wide range of people in it.
Yeah. So this next 12 guys.
9 and 11 and a half points.
The next 12 guys are obviously the tight end twos. We're not going to spend as much time talking about them. We're just going to kind of go through these guys, especially a couple of these top guys. Right? I mean, Jimmy Graham, for the most part, I'm done with them. Either did you have any interest in him?
I dropped him out of my top 24 ranks. I mean, he's still under contract with Chicago, but it seemed like they were transitioning to commit. And if they end up needing salary cap, it's not a huge hit to move on.
Yeah, it's the end is nigh. So it's you can chalk up Jimmy Graham being fantasy irrelevant, I believe, over the next few games. Because I don't think he's going to play much more than a few games.
Eric Ebron with Pittsburgh obviously had an okay season, and we know Big Ben is back, but he is another tight end that I'm fading. There's guys below him right now that I think will jump him. So Ebron, another guy I don't have much interest in. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Ebron, though, he kind of falls into that category of, as my dad used to say, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. So Ebron is a guy that you might roster, that he's a bye week tight end. You could end up starting him for 4 or 5 games, and he's going to produce really well, catch a couple touchdowns. What did he have? He had 91 targets last season. I don't know if I'd count on that, but, you know, he can be so inconsistent, and the hands have always been an issue. But it's not like he's still only 27 years old, so – There's something there. He's probably towards the top of that tier two, or at least in the top half of it.
Yeah. Evan Ingram here, who finished 15. He's a guy that I'm a little bit interested in. Finally had almost a full season of health. You know, if Daniel Jones can take another step forward, they get Saquon Barkley back. Evan Ingram's a guy I think could be a little bit higher than where he's at. He's the guy that I think will be a little bit discounted. So I have some interest in him, but still think he's a tight end too. Matt, what are your thoughts on Ingram?
Yeah, I have him at 16 right now. I think he's a tight end too. We might have seen his best season because their receivers were pretty much not involved at all. Saquon missing. You know, I think – plus, I'm not entirely convinced he stays on the field.
Yeah, I mean, are they even going to give him a second contract? Are they going to let him walk? Are they going to basically
let him walk?
Are they going to say, look, we'll keep you, but it's going to be on the cheap? I mean, he hasn't been, his hands have been an issue. He's had some injury issues. He just hasn't produced. So, you know, great athlete, firmly in that second tier.
Speaking of great athletes.
He had almost no touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
He only had one, which would be concerning to me for a guy that had 100 targets and is that kind of size to have only one who was a red zone afterthought.
I think some of that was just how bad that offense was, though, too. I don't know if I put all that on him, but I mean, yeah, I mean, for 100 targets and no, you said no touchdowns?
He had one touchdown. I'm going to look at their other tight ends.
I guess that is a little bit concerning. So Speaking of great athletes, Jonnu Smith there is next. I mean, I still believe in Jonnu Smith, and maybe now that Arthur Smith is gone, we'll finally see him do something if he comes back to Tennessee, because he is a free agent. He's a guy that I'm still holding on to, him and Tyler Higbee, who is next as well, because I think Higbee could take a step forward now with Gerald Everett being gone, or at least maybe producing like six games instead of three now that Everett is gone. But those are two guys that I have interest in this second tier. Dennis, what are your thoughts on Smith and Higbee?
I like the talent of both of them. I feel like, you know, we watched Delanie Walker come over, you know, have a very nondescript first contract with San Francisco and then come to Tennessee and just be a pass catching monster. I mean, there was a stretch of about 7 or 8 years where if you had Delanie Walker, you felt like you were set at tight end. And then Smith came in, and he was more athletic and could do so much more. And then when he got his shot, it's like they just said, well, forget it. We're not gonna use the tight end like that anymore now that Delanie is off the team. So I was disappointed with his usage. I feel like he's got the skills and ability. It'll be, you know, curious to see where he goes, because when you change teams as a receiver, we see it with wide receivers a lot, that they struggle that first year. And so potentially if he changes teams and doesn't have a great year this year, then maybe next offseason it might be the time to really acquire Jonnu Smith before a breakout.
Yeah, I have Smith at 15 right now. I think it really depends on where he ends up going. We saw flashes. Is he going to go somewhere where he's more featured? Higbee, I get what you're saying. I think he is what he is. They took a rookie last year. Just because Everett's gone, I'm trying to remember which one they took.
Harrison Bryant, I believe, right?
I thought
Hunter Bryant. Hunter Bryant. Yeah, Hunter Bryant. I'm sorry. Hunter Bryant. I'm pretty sure it was the Bryant.
No,
it's Bryson Hopkins.
Rams took Hopkins.
I wouldn't be convinced that, you know, Higbee doesn't end up splitting there. I'm at 18 in my rankings.
All right, next up is – sorry, I was trying to answer a question for somebody there. Jared Cook, who was just recently released from New Orleans. I mean, I think Cook can probably still play. I don't really have much faith in him, but I do think that that means wheels up for Adam Trautman, even if it's, you know, Taysom Hill at quarterback. You agree with that, Dennis?
For Trautman?
Yeah, I mean, I
don't really have anything to add for Cook. I mean, he's not good. Next.
Well, I mean, I think he's just aging too. I wouldn't be surprised if he's done.
All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he signed somewhere for a paycheck, but.
I'm going to put both of the Browns tight ends together here. Hooper came in at 21, Bryant, who came in at 42. You know, Hooper obviously was a guy that we did not really believe in. I mean, we were all fairly close here. 18, Dennis, 23. Matt, you had him at 18 as well. And even as I
took Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, we'll go to him in a minute. He is somewhat important, but yeah, I did skip him. Austin Hooper, you know, we talked about it on the show Tuesday, that I do think the Browns will be a little bit more pass happy and pass friendly going into 21 now that those guys know the offense. That being said, if I had to choose between both these guys, I'm taking Harrison Bryant because I think you can get him later in drafts, and I think he has more upside. Do you agree with that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has more upside. If you need Austin Hooper to be your starter, you need to look at other starters. I think tight end two is about the best you're going to hope for where he's at right now. I'm, I believe, at 19 right now.
Yeah, I think that either one of them is if you're taking Bryant, it's because in 2023 you're hoping the Browns have a more pass-happy offense. Hooper is going to be what Hooper is. He's not going to produce in this offense with Stefanski and their desire to run the ball and limit Baker's mistakes. There's not going to be the kind of, you know, two receivers that you can count on at a high level, whether it's two wide receivers or one wide out and a tight end or whatnot. It's going to be dicey.
All right, so Dallas Goedert, he is a tight end in the league, and actually does have some significance here. And I'm going to add Zach Ertz as well, because Goedert finished at 20, Ertz at 31. Ertz did deal with injuries. Seems like Ertz might be out in Philadelphia. I know there's a lot of talks about them trading him. Seemed like there was some realistic talk that he might end up going to Indy with Wentz. If that happens, I actually think Wentz's value could shoot up some, but he's really being devalued right now. Goedert, though, the tight end to own in New England. Curious
in
to
Philadelphia.
See how that, yeah, Philadelphia too. One of those places. I do think, obviously, it's Jalen Hurts there scares me some with Goedert, but I do think that his value, he has a lot of upside. So Goddard's a guy who I think will move up, and will Ertz, depending on where he lands. I don't think Ertz is done. He's still a very talented tight end. But Dennis, how do you value these two guys?
I'd love to see a breakup. I feel like, you know, I'm not a huge Hurts guy. NFL teams believe in him. I'm coming around to the Konami code quarterbacks that have the, you know, they can run well. And Hurts provides that. Hurts, I just don't think he has the anticipation that I look for. But with tight ends, I think, you know, they tend to have to work more in an underneath zone, find an open spot, and maybe that plays more to Hurts' strengths than I'm giving it credit for. Goddard is clearly the more athletic of the two, but both Ertz and Goddard missed five games, and Ertz actually out-targeted Goddard. So, you know, I feel like at least I feel like one of them is going to end up being a higher scorer than we expect. I'm trying to think. Let's see. You know, it doesn't look like either one of them on a per-game basis. You know, Goddard was about 10th, and Ertz was about 23rd, somewhere in that range. So, Goddard was, I think he scored more touchdowns than Ertz. Had some more, he had a much higher catch percentage and yardage. So, you know, Goddard's the way to go, I think.
Yeah, I expect Ertz to move on from Philadelphia. Goddard missed several games last year, too. I have him up at 10. I think he's got good potential, and especially if he can have the position, you know, kind of be the guy. I have Ertz at 14. I'm with you. I don't think he's done yet. Landing spot's going to matter a lot. If he goes to the Colts and they kind of move on from Jack Doyle, which has been rumored, I might bump him up, actually, you know, because he, you know, the reason he out-targeted Goddard is largely because of his chemistry with Wentz. And that would be a real nice fit for the Colts.
Since I had already talked about, Jimmy Graham earlier, and forgot to mention that, Matt, you brought up Cole Kmet. We should have talked about them together. How do you guys view Cole Kmet moving forward? As Matt mentioned, they seem to be kind of transitioning more toward the end of Chicago's season. You know, I'm still not sold on him. I think he's got a shot, but I think he more, in my opinion, at least more realistically falls in this group that we're kind of talking about right now. He's not a guy that I'm really that high on. Dennis, how do you value Kmet?
I think that there's just so much of a wasteland in tight end. If I roster him, it's probably as the tight end 3, hoping for a breakout in a couple years. Chicago has quarterback issues. If I had to sit here on March 4th and say, which coach I think is on the hottest seat right now, I think it's Nagy in Chicago. So it's hard to tell, you know, it's a true lottery ticket. He definitely has some athletic ability, but I don't know where that offense is going. He still has to deal with Jimmy Graham.
Maybe.
Yeah. Today he does. So I'm not looking for him to be the next George Kittle.
Yeah, I mean, I like the potential. Chicago started using the tight end a lot more in their offense last year, especially in the red zone. That's what buoyed Jimmy Graham up. He had 8 touchdowns. Komet started to come on at the end of the season. I have him tentatively in my initial dynasty set at 20, before we've added in rookies and stuff. I think there's some good potential there. I think even if Graham stays, they were moving at, even toward the end of the season toward Komet, and they want to get him a bigger role. He was a pretty high draft pick for them last year. But I'm with Dennis. When you're in that range,
yeah,
it's sort of a wish and a prayer.
So I'm going to kind of skip over the most, in my opinion, the interesting guy left. We'll save him for last. So Chris Herndon and Dawson Knox, both Chris Herndon, I think it's finally time to just let that go. And it hurts to say that, but I think
Stop
it's
it.
Go ahead.
Stop it.
Well, it's not, you know, when you hear it. When you hear the Jets talking about things like they need to get a real tight end, that's not a great sign.
I mean, Stop it's it. Not great, but it's not Stop the it. End. I mean, it's not over yet, Matt. Look, we drafted him in what was that? It was a redraft league where like 2 of us drafted him actually at like the end of the draft because we believed in him so much. So, I will say if you're taking like the round 30, like we took him, hey, I'm all for it. But at this point, he's a guy like if you take a stab on it, has to be one of your last picks and you're hoping for the best, but I'm kind of out on that. And Dawson Knox for me as well. You know, I love Knox. I know Matt, me and you've talked about him before. We're big fans of him, but just with the way Beasley's come on in that offense and Diggs, I don't see it from Knox. So neither one of these guys, I think, have much room to grow from where they're at now. Do you agree with that, Matt? Disagree?
Yeah. I mean, I think Knox probably is perpetually going to be a tight end 3. Because I just don't know that there's enough volume. But we saw some flashes in the playoffs and at the end of the season. You know, they haven't forgotten he exists. But that's probably where, you know, he's kind of a tight end 3. Chris Herndon, this offseason is going to make a lot of difference. I initially didn't have him. Then I was looking at it, and I threw him back at 25 because apparently, like you, I'm not ready to quit him yet. I need to be hurt again before I'm out on him completely. I just feel like there's still such an opportunity for him, and we thought he might actually have more opportunity when Gase was gone. But if they go and make a big move at the tight end position, I think that'll tell us everything we need to know.
Yeah, I mean, the caveat I would put out there is if they make a big move at the tight end position, clearly it's over. But Herndon is another in what's turning out to be a long line of athletic tight ends out of the University of Miami. He has had some struggles these first 2 or 3 years, but he's got the tools. And I think he's been around with Darnold and the rest of the team long enough that I feel like there's got to be a level of confidence that's been built just by practicing together over these years that hopefully his athletic ability will start to come through. And now that you have a coaching staff that maybe knows how to use a tight end, or maybe even is willing to try to use a tight end. I went out, our guy Evan Lucian at Dynasty Nerds wrote an article about Chris Herndon a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I've always been a Herndon fan. So I went out in pretty much all of the leagues that I didn't own Herndon in. I offered 4th-round picks for him to see how many people would say, okay. I think I went as high as the 307, but like I've got the 303 in one league, and I'm decent at tight end. So I was like, I'm not going to offer the 303, but I got a couple more shares. I think I roster Herndon now in like on like 6 out of 19 teams. Maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. But I
just
like
to increase your sadness.
Yeah,
for the upcoming season, your frustration.
All right, so I'm going to group these next two together because they're both technically free agents at the moment. And surprisingly enough, the first one I'm going to read is at least a little bit intriguing. He did do something in Arizona, and that's Dan Arnold. Then obviously Gerald Everett, who I would say is a really good tight end, but just with the way he was used it with the Rams and mixed in with Tyler Higbee, we didn't get to see much of him. Again, for me on both these guys, I have more interest in Everett than I do Arnold, but it's going to depend on where they land. I can't even begin to think or even try and really rank them not knowing ahead of time. Do you agree with that, Dennis? You kind of in on either one of these now? Don't really care? Or how do you look at these guys?
Well, you know, Arnold is one of those tight end wide receiver hybrid types, much like Everett. And so it's going to be a situation where a team has to decide that they want to use that type of player. You know, Kingsbury didn't use the tight end a ton. He didn't use the tight end much in college, and he doesn't use the tight end much in the NFL. So, you know, Arnold did have four touchdowns and a 14.1 yard per catch average on just 31 receptions. So there's some ability there, but again, there's such a big tight end wasteland. It's hard to put any faith in. It's tight end is the true show me position. You show me you can do it year in and year out, and then we're willing to pay up for it. But if you haven't showed me you can do it for more than 1 year, I'll just take a shot on somebody else that's going to be, you know, three times cheaper.
Yeah, if either of those guys lands in a good spot, then maybe I'll come back to it. But for now, not, you know, especially like you said, there's some good rookies coming in. We have some guys that were rookies last year that are ascending. And there's not a ton of teams that are just peppering their tight ends with targets.
All right, so the last tight end we'll talk about today, and we'll save the NFL news, I guess, for Mondays. We went to actually had a little bit more discussion on some of these guys than I thought we were going to. Again, as much as we trash the position, it has some very interesting players, at least for sure. And that's Irv Smith, and we talked about it a lot. I know I believe Dennis and myself were very high on him, and me and Matt actually nailed the ranking here at 22, and Dennis was higher than us on him at 15. And the biggest concern was how, you know, was more involved was he going to be with Kyle Rudolph there. Rudolph is now gone. The Vikings have let him go, so Irv Smith's going to be the guy. You know, I know a lot of people keep talking about, at least I saw there was a lot of people saying, hey, Irv Smith, get him now. He's going to be even better. And then you had the other side saying, well, he's going to be fourth, though, in targets because you've got Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook there. With that being said, Irv Smith is a fantastic athlete. Like, I do think he could be very viable. He's a guy that I'm very intrigued by. I think you're probably going to have one person in each draft that's more willing to pay more for him than you are and draft him a lot higher than you are. But if you can get him fairly late, I do think he's a guy who could jump from that 22 position up to close to 12 with that offense, especially if they continue to end up having to throw the ball and use the offense as much as they did this year because their defense is just not that good. Matt, what are your thoughts on Irv?
Yeah, I jumped him up a lot. I'm at 9 right now. I'm wheels up. You know, you look what he and Rudolph did last year. He had 43 targets. Rudolph had 37. If they all kind of come his way, that's 80. That wouldn't be the fourth best. You know, no, Dalvin Cook only had 54 targets. He played 14 games. So it's not like they were exactly heavily targeting the running back. So he would probably be the third option in the passing game. He's a good goal line target. He may not get all of Rudolph's targets, but if he's in the 60 to 70 target range, we've seen tight ends don't have to get a huge amount of targets and receptions to be able to have a big impact in fantasy.
Yeah, I think last season the guy who impacted Smith's targets the most was Justin Jefferson. I felt like going into the season, you know, we knew Jefferson was good. I don't think we really thought he was going to turned in a 125 target season as a rookie. I think most of us felt like that was his potential, but he probably wasn't going to realize it in year one. Smith is I just finished a startup last week, and Smith was the tight end 11 off the board. It has Scott Fishbowl scoring on the offense. I took him at tight end 11. It was in the 13th round. And we start 9 IDP with IDP 1-2-3 scoring. So IDP, the significant number of IDPs had went as well. But I was super happy to take Irv Smith at that point as my tight end 1. And that was before Kyle Rudolph got cut. I think Smith, if he finished as tight end 5 this year, and I'm not planting any flags yet, but if he did finish as tight end 5, I would not be the least bit surprised.
All right, so that wraps up our talks on all of these positions for the 2020 finishes. We can now finally move forward as we're about to hit free agency next week. We'll talk about franchise tags. Obviously, we know where some players are signing at the moment, even though they can't technically sign yet. Matt and I will talk about those on Monday. We'll dive more into free agency once Dennis jumps back on again with this Thursday, and then it'll be wheels up for the NFL draft as we are already getting close to draft season as well. It's ridiculous. We're already almost a quarter of a way through 2021. It feels like 2020 just ended like 5 minutes ago. So thank you guys so much for listening. I never say this, but I got to remind myself to keep saying it. Subscribe, rate, and review. You know, we used to get a lot of those, and then that kind of died off, maybe because we kept forgetting to remind people. So if you guys have time to do that, it would mean a lot to us. Obviously, you can follow Matt at Nighthawk7734 on Twitter, Dennis at Culture_Coach, and myself at SportsFanaticMB. Everybody have yourself a good weekend and enjoy WandaVision tomorrow night, because me and Matt will definitely be talking about that as well on Monday.
Prepare for glory! I don't know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
I came out the womb wide ready.
And he's hit the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Throw it up above his head. They can't jump with me. Golly!
Only tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Who can make a play?